Oyez, oyez, oyez. All persons having business before the Honorable United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this Honorable Court. Be seated. Case number 085014, In re Fannie Mae Securities Litigation. Mr. Bagley for the appellant, Mr. Romaine for the appellees.
May it please the court, Nick Bagley for the Office of Federal Housing Enterprise Oversight. The district court's order of civil contempt against Ofeo has crystallized this dispute into a single question: whether the stipulated order of September 27, 2007, clearly and unambiguously committed Ofeo to processing any and all search terms that defendants proffered, however unreasonable. It did not. Instead, the order required Ofeo to work with defendants to develop appropriate search terms that Ofeo would then process. By no means did Ofeo agree to shoulder the open-ended, multi-million-dollar burden of processing within a tight time frame more than 400 search terms, many with wildcard characters. The district court's contrary position is explicable only with reference to its longstanding refusal to police the bounds of Rule 45 discovery against a non-party federal agency.
Counsel, I'm thoroughly mystified as to why your briefs spend so much time complaining about the district judge's position prior to the time you entered into the stipulated order. Isn't it perfectly clear that all that is irrelevant? You may have been guilty of malpractice or somebody in entering into the stipulated agreement, but why is that relevant to us?
Respectfully, Your Honor, I think for at least three reasons. First, the district court thought it was important and went through the past history of this case in entering the civil contempt sanction. Second, it's pretty clear that this court has jurisdiction over the entire course of the discovery dispute, and that's because, again, we had no opportunity to take an appeal from any of the prior orders, and this interim effort to set the boundaries for ongoing discovery shouldn't deprive us of our appellate rights. Have a third reason, but it's
you could have refused to comply instead of entering into the stipulated agreement.
That's right, Your Honor. But again, Ofeo's first priority throughout this entire dispute has been to get out of this as soon as possible and to do whatever it could to get out from under the yoke of defendant subpoenas. And, you know, it is definitely possible that the agency could have gone into contempt and taken an appeal, but that the agency doesn't do so lightly, and it made every effort to comply with the district court's order. I'm not sure why its good faith should count against it in this appeal.
By the way, is it now done, the search, with all the search terms?
Yes.
And that's...
It was
so
done as of the end of February.
There's really no relevance to the dispute over the search terms except insofar as it affects the question of whether contempt was appropriate.
I think that's right. I just wanted to
The fact that we have jurisdiction over the discovery proceeding is also irrelevant, is it not? I mean,
well,
the only question is whether you're right that the stipulated order was ambiguous.
Well, I think it's fair to say that we can resolve this case on the basis of the stipulated order alone, but I do think it's difficult to understand where the district court was coming from.
I don't.
With that, actually.
Well, that's not relevant. You entered into an agreement.
Well, but again, you know.
So you're complaining the district court was mean to you, and you shouldn't have entered into the agreement.
No, I'm trying to give some context for this long-running dispute. This didn't just happen. It wasn't a lightning bolt. This was a culmination of a year-long of abuse of discovery abuses perpetrated by defendants with the cooperation of the district court. I think you can interpret the stipulated order against that backdrop. Certainly the district court did.
I'm not convinced, counsel.
I'm happy to talk more about the stipulated order because I think we're on pretty firm ground there.
Why don't you go on to that for just a minute, okay?
Sure.
And then we'll come back to this other issue, okay?
Happy to. Yeah. The stipulated order says that Ofeo will work with individual defendants to provide necessary information to develop appropriate search terms. And then the stipulated order says defendants get to provide terms.
That next sentence, the second sentence, is pretty broad in isolation.
It is pretty broad in isolation, but I think it's important to, you know, read it in context. I think it's very hard to understand exactly why you would work with...
Why would the government have agreed to that sentence?
It happened hurriedly, and it happened...
Mistakenly?
Well, I wouldn't say mistakenly, because the government successfully introduced the word appropriate into the stipulated order. It wasn't signing something without any guarantee of protections. It understood the word appropriate to limit what defendants could offer.
Then why did it agree to the second sentence?
Why did it agree to the second sentence? Because, again, it thought that the second sentence would be read in pari materia with the first sentence. And I think that that's a perfectly appropriate way
to
read
the order. Who negotiated that agreement? Was it the Justice Department?
It was a U.S. attorney with the cooperation of OFAO.
Just curious.
But what about the judge? What about the district court's November order, where he stated pretty clearly what he thought this meant? You don't claim that's ambiguous.
I don't claim that the November 2nd order is ambiguous. I claim it was erroneous, and erroneous because the stipulated order didn't require what the district court thought it required, and erroneous because there was no basis for imposing that kind of discovery burden on a non-party federal agency.
I'm still struggling with Judge Silberman's question. I don't see how. Let's assume for a minute that I thought the stipulated order was not ambiguous. Okay. Let's assume that. I don't see how, when we're looking to see whether the court's order sanctions for violating that, why anything that happened up to that is relevant.
I mean, I'm going to go over some of the same ground. Yeah. I think the district court relied on the past conduct and went on at some length in his January 22nd oral statement about why he held OFAO in contempt. If the district court thought it was relevant, surely it should be relevant to this court's review. Again, moreover, I think that this is, viewing this as an outright settlement, global settlement of the entire discovery dispute, I think is a bit of an overstatement. This is an interim order entered into the course of a long-running discovery dispute. And yeah, it was signed by the court, but that shouldn't cut off OFAO's appellate rights, especially when OFAO was trying to get out from under the potential for a contempt sanction that was hanging over its head. But at any rate, and more importantly, the September 27th order is ambiguous at a minimum as to what OFAO's obligations were. So, we don't need to go back in time, but I do think it is telling. But at a minimum, going forward, I think we have a pretty clear, straightforward argument on this front.
What sanction would have been appropriate to coerce compliance with the deadline set forth in the September 27th order?
Well, Your Honor, under the circumstances here, we don't think a sanction was appropriate at all.
I understand that, but so obviously you think that ordering disclosure of privileged documents is not appropriate. But is there any sanction that the district court could have imposed in your judgment? Assume that contempt was appropriate for violations of the deadlines. What kind of sanction would be appropriate to coerce compliance with the deadline?
Your Honor, I don't know that I want to step into the role of the district court and hypothesize about what would have been appropriate or not appropriate. What I can tell you for sure is that this court has said time and again that waiver of a sanction is a stiff, stiff remedy. And the kind of good faith substantial compliance that OFAO made with the stipulated order, even as interpreted erroneously by the district court, obviates any reasonable basis for finding an order of contempt. Now, assuming, again, for purposes of argument, that contempt was warranted, what sanctions would be appropriate, it's hard for me to do that because I don't think contempt was at all warranted, and I would need to know the basis for that contempt. If it was missing a deadline that it was, frankly, not possible to satisfy or reach, I don't really understand how you could impose a sanction on an agency that had expended roughly $6 million complying with defendant subpoenas. And had hired more than 50 contract attorneys, spent more than $40,000 a day, had turned over more than 300,000 documents as of the deadline, finished its privilege logs within 2 months.
Well, see, this whole argument you're making turns on our ability to look beyond the plain language of the stipulated order, right?
No, none of that
And to
does.
Consider the background also.
None of, again, that does, I don't believe. I think that's going forward. That's OFAO's compliance with the stipulated order. As this court sort of suggested in Food Lion, good faith substantial compliance with a district court order that is clear and unambiguous can deflect a finding of civil contempt. So even if you think the order is clear and unambiguous, and even if you think that OFAO violated it, if OFAO made a good faith substantial effort to comply, that's the ballgame in favor of OFAO. So I do think that that's relevant, notwithstanding sort of what came before the stipulated order.
Are all the documents now and all the privilege logs now turned over?
Yes.
Completely. So, because in the red brief, they say there's still some 20,000 documents outstanding.
There is some residual dispute over the scope of discovery. There's also some claims that the privilege logs are inadequate. This is the quotidian stuff of discovery disputes. In Orfeo's view, it has satisfied the obligations. It can hash that out at the district court.
If everything's been turned over, why are you on appeal?
Because we are still subject to the contempt sanction, and moreover, as of January, the district court's order requires us to turn over everything that was
you haven't
not
turned
locked.
Over the. So what you haven't turned over then is the privileged documents.
Exactly.
Right?
As of January 4th, anything that was privileged but not logged.
That's why I misunderstood your answer to Judge Tatel's question earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Judge Tatel was asking if we'd complied with the district court's order, not with the contempt sanction. We have not complied with the discovery sanction because it was stayed by this court.
What was supposed to happen if there was disagreement over what was appropriate?
You know, the order was silent onto that point, and so I think you just say that the parties should come together and reach some sort of reasonable accord about what appropriate means.
We've all been in discovery disputes where that doesn't happen. What was supposed to happen then?
Well, what happened was exactly what happened, which is that they went before the district court, and the district court made a judgment about made a judgment about what the stipulated order meant. Now, in our view, the judge should have said.
Of course, the language didn't say that. It did. It just said the individual defendants will specify the search terms.
Again, if you want to rip that out of context, I think you can read it like that. At a minimum, I think that Orfeo's position that it was ambiguous.
I didn't write it.
I take that point. But, you know, again, the point that this is at least ambiguous as to what Orfeo's obligations were is, I think, pretty clear on the face of the document. But, you know, in that hearing that you go before the district court, ideally, what would have happened is he would have taken the list of 117 terms that Orfeo countered with, and he would have taken the list of 400-plus terms that the individual defendants had proffered and make a judgment about what terms it viewed were appropriate. And instead, the district court said, I don't care. You can offer up whatever terms you want in your sole discretion. And that cannot possibly be what Orfeo agreed to, and it can't possibly be what this order means.
It can't be because it would be too awful for you. So you couldn't. We should conclude that you couldn't possibly have signed an order that would be so harmful to your interests because the lawyers for the government would have been sensitive and intelligent about that. Is that you want us to think that?
I think that's true. But I also think that the face of the order actually provides more support for my.
We're having a lot of difficulty with three judges who read that order and read the second sentence, and it sure looks like the defendant had the whip hand in that document.
Well, what would the word? What work would the word appropriate do?
I read it as concluding that they were going to negotiate as to what was appropriate, but ultimately the defendant was going to be able to specify.
That's nonsensical, though, Your Honor. Why would that be?
It is nonsensical only that the government lawyer signed it.
Well, but I actually think that that's not right. We view and read contracts and orders with a view to reasonableness, and surely you'd say, look, on the face of this, this could not possibly mean that Orfeo was opening itself up to an open-ended discovery burden where the defendants could have proffered star dot star. They could have said, give us everything. That's not what this order meant. At a minimum, it's ambiguous on this front.
But even if, I think your backup argument is, even if that's not right, there was good faith efforts to comply.
That is another backup argument. Look, I think this is clear on its face. I think if it's not, then it's at a minimum ambiguous. And I think if that's wrong, then we made good faith substantial compliance with the order.
And if that's wrong, the sanction's still inappropriate for the contempt.
Absolutely. If there are no further questions, I am out of time.
Thank you.
Good morning, and may it please the court.
So what does the word appropriate mean?
Your Honor, appropriate meant a search term that would actually be effective in retrieving responsive documents. This was, of course, a negotiated resolution of our disputes. And our disputes had been going on for at least 18 months at the time. And when we first provided a list of search terms without any knowledge about whether or not a search term would in fact retrieve any document at all, much less a relevant document, we found, as the record reflects, that some of the terms that we provided returned nothing at all. So, for example, on a key accounting issue for the director of the agency for a 7-year period, we received 6 documents. All of that came to fruition with respect to this particular hearing. This stipulated order was negotiated on the second day of an evidentiary hearing.
Could you have given in search terms the entire dictionary?
Well, certainly the order, the language of the order itself does not prohibit that. Of course, we would not have done that.
The answer, I think, is yes.
The answer is yes, Your Honor.
And what sense does that make?
It makes no sense. It makes no sense for us to do that. And, of course, we didn't. What the record reflects.
What if you had?
Well, if we
or something along those lines, some hugely burdensome list of search terms.
Well, Your Honor, I think the question of, I think when one considers what is burdensome in terms of search terms, that has to be evaluated. So, for example,
by whom?
By this court, certainly, and certainly by the district court, if
so
necessary.
The district court does have a role then in policing whether the search terms are too broad or too extensive.
No, Your Honor. If the district court obviously has to consider whether or not there is too extensive a burden on the agency. The district court was in the process of doing so, and the agency had its witnesses on the stand to try to provide evidence specifically about the burden and cost of.
This is before the order.
This is before the order. Okay. And this.
Once the order is in place.
Yes. Once the order is in place, I think the language is clear that the defendants.
You think the government agreed to something where the other side could come up with any list at all of any search terms and effectively come up with a universe of search terms that would retrieve every single document on all the tapes?
I do believe that the agency agreed that the defendants would have the sole discretion to determine which search terms to use. However, this order is not just that one sentence.
Exactly. What was the purpose of the sentence before? Why wouldn't this paragraph have just had that sentence if that's what was intended? In other words, the sentence before seems to set up a negotiation process and then gives one party the right to decide the results of the negotiation. I haven't seen many agreements like that.
Sure, Your Honor. Well, let me try to explain why that is. The first sentence determines that OFEO or contemplates that OFEO would provide us with information.
Well, then if that was all it was, it would have said to develop search terms. It wouldn't have said to develop appropriate search terms.
Yes, but
right?
But viewed in context, Your Honor,
Judge Kavanaugh's question asked you just about the language of the two sentences. And if this was designed to let the defendants pick whatever list of search terms they wanted and all OFEO was required to do was provide information, then it simply would have said to develop search terms. It wouldn't have said appropriate.
Your Honor, I think that the word appropriate there reflects our prior efforts being completely ineffective. If we provide a search
term. Let me put the question to you this way. Suppose you had acted in palpable bad faith and pursued the course that Judge Kavanaugh described. And the government said, oh, my God, that's ridiculous. We can't use every word in the dictionary. Would the district judge, if the government refused to comply with that, still be within his correct rights to have imposed the sanction? Or would your good faith have been relevant in considering that?
Well, I think that our good faith.
No, counsel, answer my question. Suppose you had acted along the lines of Judge Kavanaugh's description. Would your good faith be relevant to the district judge and indeed to our review of a contempt sanction?
I think that our good faith, yes, Your Honor, I think that our good faith would be relevant to that.
So, if you acted in bad faith, even exercising the rights you had under an agreement on the second sentence, that would be relevant to the question of whether the sanction was appropriate.
I think so, Your Honor. I think that the judge could have considered.
So is that relevant to us today? It has to be then, right? So then perhaps you should ask why you're still in dispute over the privileged documents. Is that correct?
in dispute over the privilege documents that we
You're in dispute with the government over the documents which they assert privilege over?
Yes.
Why is it in your good faith to assert the right to those documents?
With respect to the district court sanction?
Yes.
What we are defending...
You asked for that sanction, didn't you, or did you?
No, we did not. What we asked for was to have the district court waive Ofeo's privilege claims. We thought that given the unjustified delay and the bad faith...
Well, then, in effect, you've asked it because that's what the sanction did, didn't it?
No, we do not believe it does. The sanction specifically reserves Ofeo's claim and to privilege with respect to these documents. It requires them essentially to give us the information that we needed in order to determine which documents we would decide
to
challenge.
Well, okay, then focus right on what is the dispute that remains and indicate to us what you have conceded is relevant, your good faith in asking for the documents that are still in dispute.
The dispute that remains, Your Honor, is whether or not what I believe is here on appeal, to try to be clear, is whether or not the district court abused its discretion.
Right, but I want to get a sense of what you're seeking under that order and what the government is resisting. What specific documents?
Well, as we understand it, Ofeo has approximately 41,000 documents, which are over which it has exclusively asserted the deliberative process privilege. And though the privilege logs for those documents have in fact been produced. And so, of course, the court's order back in January required that all those documents be produced directly to us. So,
counsel, I'm trying to understand what's in dispute right now. What documents?
Those 41,000 documents.
But they've been turned over, you said. The privilege log has.
Privilege logs
have. Which identifies those documents.
Yes.
So how many of those documents are still in dispute? How many of those documents are you seeking?
We don't know, Your Honor. We haven't been at the stage yet to litigate the challenges or litigate any challenges to their privilege claims. So we haven't filed a motion to compel with respect to those privilege logs.
Okay. I'm still confused. I want to know exactly what's in dispute at this point.
There are 41,000. Well, to be clear, there are 55,000 documents that the agency has withheld as privileged on various privileges. 41,000 of those documents would be affected right now by the district court's discovery sanction.
They would be disclosed.
Yes.
Right. If we affirmed, those would be disclosed. Right.
Yes.
And if we didn't, then you would have your dispute over the privilege issue based on the logs, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. What in your mind, what role does the November 2nd statement by the district court play in how we think about this issue?
Well, Your Honor, I think...
Does it play any role at all?
I don't think that it plays a significant role to the role it might play is that certainly after November 2nd,
suppose we didn't agree with you. Suppose we thought the presence of the word appropriate created an ambiguity in the stipulated order. Does the district court have the authority later to resolve that ambiguity and then hold Ofeo in contempt?
I think it does, Your Honor.
It does?
Yes. I think that if there was any ambiguity about the second sentence, which determines exactly who selects the search terms, then in our view, there certainly wasn't that ambiguity after November 2nd.
No, but suppose it was ambiguous in the order. Suppose the word made it ambiguous. Can a district court resolve an ambiguity against a party and then hold the party in contempt for violating the order?
I think that it can, Your Honor.
Really?
That would certainly, even if that were true, that would be relevant to the good faith compliance because the additional search terms is what slowed down, presumably, the government's ability to meet the deadlines, which it wasn't aware until the November 2nd ruling by the district court, correct?
No, Your Honor. The Ofeo received the search terms even on October 19th.
Right, but until the judge's order, there was a dispute as I understand it, about whether all those search terms were appropriate, so things didn't get kicked off until after the district court ruled, which in turn made it more difficult for the government to meet the deadlines that were in the original September 27th order, correct?
Well, it is true that OFAO did not begin until November 9th, but with respect to good faith and substantial compliance, the district court found that OFAO, knowing its burden in full, did not begin to hire the necessary people or to gather the appropriate resources until approximately a month or a month and a half later.
That's pretty. How many lawyers did they have to hire for this discovery?
I only know their representations.
What's the representation?
Their representations are approximately 50 contract attorneys that were ultimately
not easy hired. To hire 50 attorneys in a month.
It may be easier today.
I certainly can't speak to the process, but what I do know is that the district court found that OFAO, rather than to begin the process immediately, waited until almost the end of December to do so, and that by the time the deadline that OFAO had asked for and indicated that it could meet came, it had only provided one of the 31 privilege laws.
What sanction did you ask for?
We asked that monetary fines be imposed, and that the district court find that OFAO had acted in bad faith, had engaged in misconduct that was inexcusable, and that there was an unjustifiable delay, and therefore that the privilege claims should be waived. The district court found that that would be inappropriate and disproportionate to the harm that had been caused.
But isn't the privilege waived?
Isn't which, I'm sorry?
The privilege on deliberative process, wasn't it in effect waived by the order?
By the district court's order?
Yes.
No, we do not believe so, Your Honor. It is possible to have a disclosure order that does not in fact waive the privilege. And we believe that the new federal rule of evidence 502, for example, which contemplates for even an absolute privilege, like the attorney-client privilege, that a court can in fact order.
Well, I'm trying to get an understanding of what this order does.
It specifically reserves that right. All it does is to
make sure the lawyers have
make sure the lawyers have it, and then provides a deadline for the lawyers to actually challenge those claims. In effect, it doesn't allow the clients to review the documents. It doesn't allow the documents to be used for any other purpose, and it certainly holds us accountable for making sure that that doesn't happen.
It's really a problem, isn't it, that the sanction does not seem designed to coerce compliance with the deadlines?
No, I think it does, in fact, Your Honor.
It seems punitive, not how does that, unlike a fine, for example, which coerces compliance with a deadline?
Well, this compels sanction. Compliance because the essence of the privilege log is to be able to provide the appellees with the information necessary to challenge any particular privilege claims. What OFAO indicated in its pleadings in December, on December 19th, for example, is that
you were going to get the privilege logs anyway.
Yes, that's true. But the courts.
Only thing that the district court was upset about was that the privilege logs and the documents were not being produced quickly enough. And I don't see how forcing disclosure of documents bears a relationship to coercing compliance with the deadline.
Well, because the district court was in the process of managing its docket, and to add an additional 2 months for a process that would at the very least just then begin any subsequent privilege litigation was troubling, and it didn't allow the district court to manage the day-to-day
litigation. Is the theory that the process would have gone faster, the question of which documents were privilege and which would have gone faster if you had the documents rather than just the log?
No,
at the point?
No.
Well, then I worry about your answer to Judge Kavanaugh.
Let me try to address that concern.
Thing that would have made it go faster was what you requested, namely just turn over all the documents.
And the district court considered and rejected that.
So then in what way did his more refined order expedite the process?
Because it gave us an opportunity to determine which documents there was a privilege that was being asserted.
It's much easier for you to.
That's what I just asked you.
Yeah, that's right. I don't understand why you didn't answer yes to Judge Tatel.
I'm sorry. Perhaps I misunderstood your.
No, now I understand. I asked you whether this order expedites the process because by allowing you to see them, you can resolve the privileged issues faster.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. Right? It's true. It
doesn't. That's what made it go faster, right?
Yes, Your Honor. But it is important to note that the privilege was still being reserved by the district court.
I understand that. Right.
Order.
Right. Okay. Anything else?
Nothing.
Does Mr. Bagley have any time left? Does he have any time left? No. Mr. Bagley, you can take 2 minutes.
I'll be very fast. Just three quick points. Mr. Romaine came up here and said that appropriate to them meant appropriate above and beyond the requests that they'd made in their February 18th letter. Appropriate to Ofeo meant something extremely different. It meant limited to the February 18th request. In that context, where there's a dispute over the meaning of a word of an agreement, I think we see ambiguity, and that means that the civil contempt order lacked any kind of basis. Second, I should just clarify, Mr. Romaine's and defendant's counsel actually did pretty much submit the dictionary. Their terms captured roughly 80% of the emails in the electronic files of Ofeo's database. 80%. That means 4 out of 5 emails anyone ever sent or received at Ofeo. This is pretty close to the entire dictionary. Third, in terms of the holding, you know, not waiving this court held an Henry sealed case medical records that once you turn over privileged documents, even to counsel, the cat's out of the bag.
No, it didn't say that. It assumes the possibility of a future order that would require future disclosures, but it didn't. It didn't say. Where do you see in that case that turning it over to counsel waives the privilege for all purposes?
It's possible that I'm misremembering the case. I thought it was Henry sealed case medical records.
That's where, the medical records case.
Right, where the court said that the D.C., when they turned over the forced disclosure to defendant's counsel of medical record documents that were covered by the psychotherapist privilege would be an immediately appealable issue, order.
They right, it
assumed say that the privilege was vital.
But where did it say that it says...
The only way you could get an immediately appealable order in that context is if the privilege has been breached, which is what the
court was assumed. Breached, and it was breached here with respect to turning the documents over to the lawyers.
Right.
That's what would make even this one appealable. But that doesn't answer the question as to whether turning the documents over to the lawyers breaches the privilege with respect to further.
No, that's right, and we wouldn't want to claim that it does. This is an effective breach of our privilege, and that's just the point that we're trying to make here.
Okay.
The last point that I'll make is about the timing of this whole dispute. On November 2nd, the district court finally resolved what the words appropriate meant. Within a week, defendants had offered a counterproposal of what we were supposed to run. By November 9th, we'd got going. By the end of November, we'd hired 30 contract attorneys. By mid-December, we'd hired 20 more, running each of these attorneys through a very costly, time-intensive process of security clearance through OPM and FBI. By mid-December, we're spending $40,000 a day. By the end of February, we've spent
our scope of review of the district judge's sanction is pretty narrow?
I think that typically abuse of discretion review is pretty narrow, but I think given the absence of any kind of explanation on this record for any kind of reasoned explanation for rejecting the good faith substantial efforts at compliance on Ofeo's part, counsel's in favor of a reversal, even on abuse of discretion review.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Case is submitted.